Good evening, and welcome to Grace Lutheran's Good Friday service. It is a Tenebrae service, and a very special one. I don't think we can overstate the importance of Good Friday. It is a day so important to Christians throughout the world. And so I'm glad you're with us tonight, and I hope the worship service will be meaningful to you. Whether you're a member of Grace or whether you're just checking us out, we're glad you're here. Good Friday service is usually one of our best attended services of the year. Usually it is filled with people, every seat taken. But because of the coronavirus, that's not so. But we're glad that you're here, and I'm glad for the people that are here putting on this service tonight. You know, nothing can take away how special this service will be. Even though it is so different from past services, the Holy Spirit is here among us, here among you. We commemorate this most important day when Jesus sacrificed his life for us. May God bless your worship this evening. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Lord, have mercy. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We go to the Lord in prayer. Spare us, O Lord. Remember not our many sins, but remember us according to your mercy, and for the sake of your Son, whom you put to death for our deliverance. Give us your Holy Spirit that through the affliction of this pandemic and on this Good Friday, that you would create honest and contrite hearts in us and turn us away from our own self-confidence towards you, our only true confidence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now enter a time of confession of our sins. We gather before God, remembering the cross in sorrow and in shame. We seek his forgiveness, strength, and mercy. We remember the day of our Savior's death. We mourn and struggle to understand the depth of Christ's love, that he should suffer and die in our place. Father, our hearts are heavy as we gather in the name of Christ, bearing witness to the terror of his crucifixion, knowing full well that we are guilty sinners in need of your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Go away from me, Lord, for I am sinful. Woe to me, I cried, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. At times, we have failed to strive against evil in the world. At times, we have denied our Lord. At times, we have betrayed our Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord, and grant us forgiveness. We now have a time of silence for reflection and examination of our sins. Merciful Father, we humbly confess that we are sinful by nature and sinners in thought, word, and deed. We fear standing before you because we know our sin has made us unworthy of you. But we acknowledge what your grace has done for us in Jesus Christ, who took the burden of our sin and guilt upon himself, In his name we confess our sin. By faith we lay claim to the promise of forgiveness won for us by his sacrifice on the cross. And then the Lord touched me with his grace. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Friends, it's my privilege and joy as your associate pastor to tell you Jesus has forgiven your sins today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now sing, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? Responsive reading from Isaiah 53. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously bestow your favor upon this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed. Grant that we may genuinely cherish Jesus's willingness to be given into the hands of sinners, to suffer torment upon a cross, and even to die, that we may have abundant and eternal life through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture reading is John chapter 19, verses 17 through 30. And he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We now sing "Man of Sorrows."
Cries out, hallelujah, praise. blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. When the sun sets free, oh, he's free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor.
May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. He bore his own cross, from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Jesus always knew he had a mission that he alone could do. The cross loomed over his life. He told the disciples about it, the cross, the crucifixion. A mission, again, that only he could do. It tells us in the Word that Jesus set his face like flint, that he had a rock-hard determination to carry it out, the mission he had been given. Nothing would sideline him, even his own bodily needs. If it interfered with his mission, he would put them aside. It tells us in John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. You see, at that time, the disciples were worried because Jesus wasn't eating. He wanted them to see that the mission was paramount in his life. Jesus was only 33 years old when he would finish the mission that God had given him. Very young man. Falsely accused, bitterly reviled, guilty of no wrong, a healer, a helper, a lover of children, a liberator of people who were, well, imprisoned by their own sin and guilt. A man who knew God so intimately that he called him Abba, Daddy. And yet a man who cared about the lowliest, the least. The penultimate of the mission was a horrifying death by crucifixion. This Jesus knew awaited him. Could he have run away? Absolutely he could have. He was divine, but he was also human. And what human wants to face a torturous death, bodily and mentally. But there was more than that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Father gave him a vision of what awaited him. The furnace of hell, the abandonment of his Father. This is what he would face. Now, he asked for a reprieve in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the Father said no, and he put in motion this eternal plan for the love of us. Golgotha is an Aramaic word that means the place of the skull. It was situated right outside the walls of Jerusalem. It was a hill where executions took place. It was atop a small hill so people could see and fear the wrath of the Romans. It kept these Jews in check. The place was a symbol of death, the inevitability of death for all of us. This is the place where Jesus was to carry his own cross to. Many believe this Golgotha was the very hill in which Abraham was called to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. So we have a picture of Jesus carrying his cross to Golgotha, just as Isaac carried the wood for his sacrifice by his father Abraham. But of course, Isaac, at the last moment, was not sacrificed. God called out to Abraham, "Do not hurt the child." In fact, it came at the very last moment, and there was a ram, a substitute sacrifice. Jesus is that ram. In the New Testament, it is said, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." We deserved his death. We deserve the punishment for our sins. Instead, Jesus takes our sins upon himself, all of them. You can't ignore the symbol of the cross. We wear crosses. We have wonderful crosses here in the church. We give to members of Grace these beautiful wood crosses that are made. And if you go the highway, you'll see this enormous cross that is erected, and they're really all over the place, all over the nation. The cross is a symbol of our Christian faith. But if you think about it, the cross is also a symbol of sin and what it does. Sin is destructive. Sin wrecks everything. Sin brings pain and death and every vile thing. And what does the Word tell us? The Word says that God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God. Righteousness. Let me ask you, are you pleasing to God? Are your actions, your thoughts, your deeds consistently righteous, pleasing to God? I doubt that. Well, I know for a fact they aren't. Mine aren't either. No, we don't do good works consistently. We're not righteous. And yet it says in this verse, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we may be the righteousness of God. We are righteous. It's God's gift for us. And so we have to see the greatness of Jesus. Have you thanked him? In the First World War, there was a young French soldier who was seriously wounded. His arm was so badly smashed that it had to be amputated. He was a magnificent specimen of young manhood, and the surgeon was grieved that he would live his life out now, maimed. So he waited beside the young soldier's bedside to tell him the bad news when he recovered from the anesthesia. When the young man's eyes opened, the surgeon said to him, "I am sorry to tell you that you have lost your arm." "Sir," said the young man abruptly, "I did not lose my arm. I gave it for France." No one took Jesus' life from him. He gave it. He gave it and completed the mission that God gave to him to do. And to whom did he give it? For whom? For you and me? People who have messed up this world, messed up our lives, who too often don't have a shred of gratitude. And that's why all too often we're reluctant to worship him. We who break the commandments, always excusing ourselves, not realizing we're breaking the heart of God, of our Father. We can't hide from the cross. The cross exposes our sins, exposes them, and makes a mockery of our self-righteousness. But of course, the cross does something more than this. The second last thing Jesus said from the cross was, "It is finished." It is finished. Encapsulated in those words is the greatest love that anyone could ever experience in their life. An impossible love, an unending love, a transforming love. The three words, "it is finished," are really one word in Greek, tetelestai, and it's a commercial word that was written on business documents, on receipts in New Testament times, to show that the bill was paid in full. Thus, the symbol of the cross should remind us that Jesus paid for our sins. He didn't halfway finish this work. He didn't halfway pay the debt. No, he paid it all. And we now no longer need fear punishment for our sins, because this pure and perfect love casts out that fear. He paid for the punishment of our sins. Now, of course, there's consequences for our sins. We do harm to ourselves. Sin has broken out in this world. It's a broken, broken world. And so we feel pain and we feel hardships. But we're not punished for our sins. Who was punished for our sins? Jesus laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is punished for our sins, and we're given his righteousness. I've always loved what Corrie ten Boom said in regard to this. She wrote, "In a forest fire, there's always one place where the fire cannot reach. It is the place where the fire has already burned itself out. Golgotha is the place where the fire of God's judgment against sin burned itself out completely. It is there where we are safe." So what should be, or better, what will be our response to this astonishing love that God poured down on us? Naturally, there are going to be multitudes of people who ignore God, who ignore what happened on Good Friday, who don't even believe that God exists. But that's not you. That's not you. You are a believer. You believe what happened on that Good Friday was for you. You believe that all your sins were atoned for on that day. You know, there was a time when on Good Friday the world came to a stop. School was dismissed, businesses closed, churches had multi-hour services. Actually, growing up, it was like that for me. Everything came to an end. It seemed that there always was a rainy, cloudy day on Good Friday. I don't know. In my experience, it seemed like it was always that way. You know, it's not like that in the year 2020. Even if there hadn't been this coronavirus, we don't seem to celebrate or commemorate that day, Good Friday, like we did in my childhood. And now the church is empty as we do this. We have some wonderful souls who are separating themselves but singing. We thank John and Carrie who are singing for us as well. And of course, Pastor Danny. But just a few people here. Oh, I forgot to mention Dale and JR up there filming us. I'm happy for those people to be here. But I remember just last year, every seat filled, the wonderful music. I yearn for that. Next year in Jerusalem, as they say, next year here at Grace, I hope we have a full church and we're able to commemorate this most important day. But let's acknowledge that our sins put Jesus on the cross. Let us stake our life on the sacrifice that he made for us, and let us follow him all the days of our life. And may the love of Christ take hold of our life and compel us to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who carried the cross and suffered in our place. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you have sent your Son to die. The cross was his goal. The nail, the thirst, the thorns, the lance speak of your love for all creation. On this most solemn day, may I so repent of my sins that my life will reflect to others the greatness of the love of Jesus Christ, my Savior, in whose holy name I pray. Amen.
We now enter into the tenebrae portion of our service, utilizing the Passion according to St. Matthew. The history of the Passion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as written by Matthew. And so the first reading we read today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 56. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. We sing, "Go to Dark Gethsemane." Our second reading is from Matthew 26, verses 57 through 75. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, to the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We sing "The Wonderful Cross."
Bless your name.
from Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 to 2 and verses 11 to 26. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. When they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. We will now listen to our meditation. Alleluia, what a Savior. Fourth reading is Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. We now sing, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded." The fifth reading, Matthew 27, verses 32 through 44. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others? He cannot save himself? He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. We now listen to our meditation beneath the cross of Jesus. The sixth reading from Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 50. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. We sing, "Were You There?" Our seventh reading from Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 60. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.